Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
We know there's a lot that can go on during one night of baseball. Long home runs, epic pitching performances, catches that defy space, time, and gravity.
Climbing the wall! Did he catch it? He did!
But what if you could get all of that summarized in a quick, concise, and at least we think, funny podcast that's under 10 minutes? Check out MLB.com's Morning Lineup. It runs Monday through Friday mornings on Spotify, Apple, or wherever you love listening most.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
The Terry Rozier does. You know what I mean? Like, I think the prophets should be limited to a certain... I think the prophets should be limited to a certain amount of guys, man, because even though I'm knocking these guys, the hypocrite in me also is going to say, if I'm Jonte Porter, who's barely in the NBA, and I'm making... you know, a few hundred thousand dollars a year, or I'm making whatever I'm making.
Right.
Why am I able to vote on, why am I able to bet on what that guy does? It's too much temptation for him because he can do some things on that stuff that changes his friends, families, all kind of people's destiny, right? Why am I able to do a prop bet with him? I think it should be limited to a certain amount of guys, period. I think that's the only way that you can kind of make these things better. It's too much temptation for your lower level dudes. I should be able to vote on what, Lawson Lovering does. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, he shouldn't show up on my phone at all, bro. It should only be a certain level of guys to even have that level, even any type of temptation. And you know they're not going to do it, bro. You're not going to see LeBron get caught up in them like this. You're not going to see, you know, high-level guys doing these type of things. So I think it should only be – you should only be able to vote on those type of guys, period.
No, I like that. I like that in terms of limiting the guys you know are going to be in there and make too much money to do something like this. Saying you're too good to join us, brother. Hope you have a wonderful weekend, man. Thank you.
Man, thank y'all, man.
Yes, sir. He is Anthony Sain, host of the Anthony Sain Show on Bluff City Media. Make sure you're checking it out every afternoon. Appreciate him for joining us. I feel what he's saying on Chauncey Billups. It is. It hadn't occurred to me, but I'm sitting there watching Chauncey Billups come out of the jail, get released, whatever else after his arrest. And I don't know, watching him get into the truck. And he's right. It's his face we see. We don't see the mob bosses that it's apparently allegedly tied to or everything else. And so it's him, and it's the NBA story. But more importantly, individually for him, a guy who there's a great reverence for him in the NBA. Not just for him as a player, you know. Obviously was a finals MVP, a champion, but the coach that he was. And Sain's right, man. I mean, there is a school of thought that, you know, I know Mike Brown just got the Knicks, but look, he's been in the league a long time. That some of these black coaches, look at JB Bickerstaff. A lot of times you're stuck with, if you are going to get the head coaching job, it's going to be one of the bottom tier ones, right? You're going to have to build this up, or it's going to be taken away from you. That's not to say we haven't had successful black coaches, but that has been something. If you look at the history of the NBA, I mean, so for a guy with so much reverence that we hold up, a guy like Chauncey Billups, to waste the opportunity like this. Sure, you don't want folks stereotyping or the perception that all guys are like Chauncey Billups are doing that. So, but in the end, you know, you'll have a lot of that out there because people will see his face, you know, that haven't read the story, that don't know him or whatever else, and say, man, you know, they should have known or whatever it was. And so it's unfortunate that it gets cast that way when you've got a guy like Chauncey Billups in a coveted one of only 30 positions, got him there. We all respect him. And then we find out, man, like he said, you're not just going around the corner doing some little stuff. You, I said, these are some deep criminal, you know, charges here. And what are you doing? What are you tied into? And why you live such a good and such a blessed life? So, thought Sain made a great observation there. I don't know. We had talked about Brad, and we got to get to rundown. But maybe you cut off the prop bets in college in terms of some of these college betting scandals or whatever else. NBA's talked about it. They may, you know, I think Sain might have it right. NBA's too locked in with these betting sites and everything now to completely cut off prop bets, but maybe limiting them to the guys we know, the starters, those guys, and not those end of the rotation guys where we've seen a lot of these guys, You know, Rozier wasn't one of those, but the Jontay Porters were, are willing to take the risk and do these things. So maybe you got to cut that off and not give that that temptation to your players. But NBA certainly got some questions to answer because they cleared Terry Rozier. We're going to talk about that and more in Rundown. We'll talk about last night's NFL game. We'll talk more about Tigers South Florida this weekend. We will talk more about Memphis Miami down at FedEx Forum tonight. Remember, pregame here at 6:30 p.m., and then you'll have Eric Hasseltine on the call at 7. So make sure that you're rocking with us. All that in hour number two. You're listening to J&J, 92.9 FM ESPN.
48 years, long time.
48 years, Robert Irwin Jewelers has been doing business. When you do business that long, it means you're successful. A lot of jewelry shops, including the place where I bought Faith's engagement ring, closed up, boxed up. They've gone home. Had to close up. Not the family of Robert Irwin Jewelers, how he knows what he's doing. And there's a reason they've been so good at what they do for so long. It's because it's going to be the best jewelry shopping experience of your life. Howie wants you to come back, wants to be your jeweler for life, and so he's going to make sure that it is. And boy, is it great right now because they've got the 48th anniversary sale going on through tomorrow. So we've been telling you about this for 2 weeks. Tomorrow's the deadline. You need to get in there and take advantage. Take 40% off any one item in the store, 48% off engagement rings, 3-carat lab-grown diamond tennis bracelet, only $948, 3-carat lab-grown diamond earrings on sale for $248. Going to be a great time to make a deal with Howie. As I've always said, you're going to leave Howie smiling because it's going to be the best deal on jewelry you've ever made. Don't be like me. Go to that big box store. Make your jewelry purchases. Could be closing up on you. Shop RIJ in the Bartlett Town Center in Bartlett off Goodman Road in South Haven or the Diamond Showroom on South Perkins across from Laurelwood where I go. Online at rijewelers.com. Sale ends tomorrow. Bigger, brighter diamonds. Better prices always at Robert Irwin Jewelers. Typically at this time, we like to do a little thing we call the Rundown. It's a big weekend. Let's go. Grizzlies back in action tonight, hopefully with Ja Morant on the floor. Pregame at 6:30 with the great Jessica Benson. Tip at 7 right here on 92.9 FM ESPN with the great Eric Hasseltine. We'll take you all the way through, get you set for it. Grizzlies, 2.5-point favorite. I believe that was at 4.5 at one point.
Yeah.
We mentioned it. Ja Morant is listed as questionable. That popped up yesterday, left ankle soreness. We can expect it. He was already dealing with an ankle that had kept him out of the preseason. Does play that first game. Oh, by the way, and I want to continue to mention this, played with those ankle braces that we think, at least for the time being, certainly significant. I'm curious to see whether he does it all season long. Hopefully, Ja can go tonight. Typically, Grizzlies history suggests questionable means you go, right? I'm not making that up.
My sources that I spoke to this morning say he's going to give it a go.
Brad's got sources, and they say Ja is going to give it a go.
One of them.
I mean, that's a news item that you're putting out
The person that I reported with or sort of...
Well, don't give him away.
He's been on Jeffrey's show a lot, and so I'm hoping he's right.
Okay.
But this was off-the-record speculation. So,
okay. Well, it was off-the-record, but you told everybody.
My bigger concern is, will he play back-to-backs? Because this is, in fact, a back-to-back. You know?
You know what? If I get the win tonight with him...
You may sit him out for third.
Unless a very enthusiastic Ja, and he has been to start the year. Remember that quote he had at the end of the win? He said he was up at 6:30 the morning of the game against New Orleans because it was first day of school.
Right.
And so if we get first day of school Ja against Indiana after he's played tonight and tomorrow night against Indiana and he wants to go, if he's enthusiastic about it and the ankle feels good, I'm going to let him go. But now, as organizationally...
Yeah.
No, I mean, if we get the win, I will say, Ja, we can sit you here.
Yeah.
Well, we've started off 2-0. We can go 2-1 on this homestand.
Interesting.
And I mean, I would be willing to do that, but I would leave it up to, because you have to, Sain said a very important thing in terms of Isolo and Jaren Jackson Jr. At some point, you have to trust your player.
Yeah.
And at some point, it needs to be on him availability. And so if he wants to go, on Saturday night, hopefully he's playing too. But with him listed as questionable, it might be an early sign already that they're willing to sit him out for one of the two. Be great if you can get this one. Then I'm cooler with that. The out guys are the same five that it was. We know about Brandon Clark, Zach Edey, Ty Jerome, Scottie Pippen Jr., Vince Williams Jr. continues to put a lot of pressure on Javon Small as the rookie point guard. Thought he did well just in the sense that didn't mess anything up in that first game. And, of course, you got a great performance. And it was. For Cedric Coward, it was an increased opportunity because a guy like Vince Williams Jr. is not there. And so Cedric Coward stepped up into that opportunity. Those guys will be out again. And so there will be that continued opportunity for Cedric Coward, for Omax Prosper, it feels like. And we'll watch. I mean, I'm kind of like on G.G. Jackson watch. It feels like even with a new coach and perhaps a clean slate, he's off to a bad start just here. You see this team so shorthanded, and yet he's getting passed up by other guys. Same mention it, Conchar was out there. For the Heat, Tyler Hero out. He listed as out tonight with the foot that kept him out of the final preseason game. Remember, for the Grizzlies, it was the one preseason game that they won. Tyler Hero was out of that one. They've actually got Terry Rozier listed on here. There's no need anymore. The man was arrested, but he's listed as out. We know why on Terry Rozier, who's all the way involved in the NBA betting scandal and was arrested as part of that that FBI sting. Remember, the Heat, the night before, lost. Oh, no, it was opening night for them on, I think it was Wednesday, same night as the Grizzlies, 125-121 to Desmond Bane and the Magic on Wednesday. Like we said, Tyler Hero didn't play in that one either, but Norman Powell, who Miami has acquired, you might not know as we're getting here, moving into the early season and some of these moves, you might not still know where guys have gone. Norman Powell had 28 in that one for Miami and was playing in that final preseason game against Memphis. He's the guy that you got to watch along with Bam Adebayo and everything else. But Memphis did win that game 141-125. It was weird because Kellel Ware, who I think hates the Grizzlies and probably Ja Morant because he was once called a pigeon by Ja Morant. I'm not sure if you remember that or not.
I totally remember that. That was a fun moment.
He started that preseason game against the Grizzlies and had 20-14.
Okay.
But he didn't start their opener because Jovic was back. Nikola Jovic was back. So he didn't start in their opener. He didn't. I'm curious to see if tonight, after losing to Orlando, if tonight they're going to have Ware back in the starting lineup, if it's just a deal where no, right now we're rolling with Jovic. But I think because he has a thing about the Grizzlies and being called a pigeon, he probably is itching to start tonight. So I'm curious to see how they'll play.
Good but reference there, Jason.
Listen, getting the New Orleans win, which you did, and yes, you could have if you had not been for that third quarter run, the team did look dead. The roster looked like it wasn't going to be good enough. There was a time in that game where it looked like, and especially if you look at what was happening on the boards, that the Grizzlies were going to lose that game. Because Ja saved you, because Jaren was big during that third quarter in which he was playing with four fouls, you're able to come out of that one and feel, I don't know about you, but I feel good if I get one of these two.
Yeah, I
think
that's
right. Off to a 2-1 start in a season that we've said could get rocky, especially as you await the return specifically of Zach Edey to try to address your rebounding issue, I would take a 2-1 homestand to start the year before you go on the road for three of the next four.
Yeah.
I would take that all day long, wouldn't you?
I think so, and I think tonight's the one. You know, I'll watch the Pacers is tomorrow night, right? I
mean,
they looked really good.
You saw that last night.
Yeah, I watched that game last night, and they went to double overtime with Oklahoma City.
Another double overtime game for OKC.
They're dangerous. You know, so I feel like tonight with an undermanned Miami Heat, I like your idea. You know, you go all in for this thing, Ja plays, and then maybe you sit him tomorrow. Yeah, works good for me.
If it's sore, that's the way it goes. It did get him on the injury report.
Yeah,
so if
it did.
It's any kind of sore, we're trying to get Ja to 65 plus.
And I agree.
It's 14 sets of back to backs.
Yeah.
And Ja is not a Joel Embiid who ain't playing, I think, on any of those back to backs. But if I can kind of control it, and especially it jives with getting two of three on an opening homestand. And keep in mind, because we've said, and Zach Kleiman has acknowledged this, that it could be, it likely will be sort of a step back season for the Grizzlies. In a year where, you're asking folks, hey, still come down, support us. I know we've got a box office star in Ja Morant, but you need to stick with us because we know we've taken a step back, but that's in the hope of taking two steps forward. Good, just symbolically, optically, to get that win against the Pelicans and get off to this good start here. Because I'm telling you, Brad, once we turn it back to the West, there's a lot more good teams than there are teams like the New Orleans Pelicans in the West. So Grizzlies tonight. As we mentioned, 6:30 pregame right here on 92.9 FM ESPN with Jessica Benson. And then you'll have Eric Hasseltine on the call at 7. All right, we mentioned it. South Florida, Memphis tomorrow, 11 a.m. We're less than 24 hours away. We discussed how big an opportunity it is for Ryan Silverfield there in the open. Here's the deal. 2019, Mike Norvell has the job. Ryan Silverfield's about to get it there for the Cotton Bowl and then going into 2020. But that year, Memphis went 3-1 against AP-ranked opponents. They are 1-4 in the 6 years under Ryan Silverfield since. That includes a win last year over Tulane late in the season that showed you, boy, that Tigers team, man, if you just hadn't lost to UTSA, maybe you're finally playing in that conference title game that has eluded him. Obviously, with the loss last week, the upset loss, what was the second largest upset in FBS this season, behind only, what, UCLA's win over Penn State, you have put yourself in a back-against-the-wall situation that has us a little tense right now, I'll just be honest with you. Because
right.
Because let's be real, things were feeling so good at 6-0 when you wore ESPN at that point in terms of the ESPN computers. You were the projected pick to win the AAC and go to the college football playoff. You were feeling so good, and here's the thing. It felt like you had at least a we-can-lose-one card in your back pocket at that point, right?
Yes.
And you've got it, and you're hoping to hold on to it because you've got to play South Florida, Tulane, and Navy mm-hmm. all – unlike some of these other teams that you're battling with for a spot in the AAC title game, you got to play everybody, all the good teams. Tulane's got to break. It only plays you. Some of these other teams we talked about is why South Florida's win over North Texas was so big, because North Texas' schedule was one that was, you know, in terms of manageable and getting to the, you know, Army had a schedule in its first year last year that helped it make that conference title game, that helped it have the year it had. Memphis has got the toughest one of those, even though I know they're all three here. Still, we talked about it. You wanted to hold on to that card through those three. And, oh, boy, let's not lose to ECU. It's a different situation now. That said, it's still the same ranked South Florida team that comes into tomorrow's game on a four-game winning streak. And Brad and I said it, 57 points per game over the last four games. It's 228 points. And no, it's not the competition they faced in their first three games to start the year. In fact, it's been AAC competition in three of the four that they've blown up. But keep in mind, this is still a team that put up 34 on a then-ranked Boise State team, mm-hmm. Went into the swamp, held them to 16 in an 18-16 win. That was their lowest scoring game of the year. Remember, that Florida defense is the one thing about them that was real
mm-hmm.
This season there as Billy Napier got fired. And yes, they got manhandled by Miami, but 63 on SC State, 54 on Charlotte once they opened up American play, 63. We saw that second half against North Texas in that game. We were all watching. They went berserk after turning the ball over three times. And then last week, putting up 48 against FAU. They are a machine mm-hmm. offensively. While they have had hiccups, like in that UNT game, they were turning the ball over left and right. Three turnovers right there that if UNT had been a more veteran team, maybe you'd take a little bit more advantage of. Because I believe South Florida got that game back to tied by halftime. Didn't take advantage of the early turnovers. But that's how high octane they are.
Yeah.
They run a similar, high pace, get up to the snap,
quick.
Run it like Tennessee does, because Golish is a Heupel disciple.
Yeah.
He comes from Josh Heupel, was with him at UCF, followed him to Tennessee, and runs the same system. And we know who he's doing it with, this quarterback Byron Brown, who we should be scared of.
Mm-hmm.
It's been a couple of years since Byron Brown played against Memphis, but the last time we saw him, he was putting up numbers, and we've seen him do it all year long. He doesn't just lead them in passing, as you would expect. He also leads them in rushing yards.
Yeah.
I've called him the Cam Newton of the American. That's kind of, big, can run over you, will try to run over you, but can also make the passes in terms of that arm. Had three TDs, 256 yards, was 14 of 24 in that win over FAU, accounted for four TDs in all because he ended up rushing for 111.
Yeah.
Like the dude is... He's Brendan Lewis, but sort of on, and mega Brendan Lewis, like the most talented quarterback, I'd have to say. In the, I know we like the young kid at North Texas, but Byron Brown is the dude in the American, and right now he's your player of the year. What kind of answer is this Memphis defense going to have after such a disappointing performance against UAB, where it seemed like? I know you're banged up in the secondary, but the game plan was so different, whether it was not knowing what to expect from the interim coach or a backup quarterback, it was a back off zone, soft game plan where, okay, we won't get beat. That ended up coming back to cost you. It's not what the Tigers have done all year long. Turning teams over, creating chaos, tackles for loss, whatever it is. And so, getting back to that script and what they've been, again, before that UAB game, number 7 in the country in stop rate, feels obviously critical. Can you do it against this physical a ball club? Because the one thing about South Florida, and the numbers will impress you, I could throw a ton of them at you. We just did with Byron Brown and what they've done defensively. But the eye test tells you that's a bunch of dogs out there. And it has since, really, the Boise State game to me. I've been watching them the entire time, saw them going in the swamp. And defensively, they have some dudes, man, that create a different kind of chaos, it feels like. And so, you know, whether it's Memphis holding up offensively with a backup, maybe backup quarterback,
yeah,
and A.J. Hill, we don't know. I guess we won't know until a couple of hours at least before the game where they have to do the injury report,
mm-hmm.
and we see whether Brennan Lewis has been ruled out of the game. But up until that point, you tell me.
Yeah.
Because John and I had this discussion, and I'm not sure we had you weigh in. Let's assume, let's say Brennan Lewis can't go, and you've only used the day-to-day as sort of a gamesmanship to try to have Alex Nolas ready for him, okay? If what Jonah Dillon, Frank Bonner, and the beat writers, everybody that watched Memphis this preseason would have us believe is true, that Arrington Maiden is more like Brennan Lewis in terms of what the offense will look like. He's a running quarterback, more RPO stuff.
Yep.
We just saw A.J. Hill come in and do what he was signed and recruited here to do. He was throwing the ball.
Yep.
Exactly. Brad's making the throwing motion. He knows exactly where I'm going with this. If you have the choice,
yeah,
Brennan Lewis is out.
Yep.
You're looking at Arrington Maiden, who you've had, what, for that Arkansas game in for, what, a play or two? Mm. He did get the big first down, but, Brad, I don't think he's throwing a pass.
No.
Or A.J. Hill, who you got to see in a tough situation for him against UAB, different kind of win style. In fact, at the end, you know, you wonder if the false starts and everything else affected them. It kind of went against what they're usually doing. Which way are you going if you're Ryan Silverfield against a defense that's this good against South Florida?
I'm starting A.J. Hill and playing two quarterbacks the whole game, and I've got a game plan where I've worked a two-quarterback offense in and out, and I'm running Maiden quite a bit. That's what I'm doing. And I think that's your best opportunity, and you hope it rains. You know, you hope tomorrow maybe we get some rain, muck the field up, maybe we run the ball more.
Do we have rain in the forecast?
I'm looking right now. Like in the 40%. You know, you're at 50-50. It's going to be cloudy. It's in the 60s. Not to get all weathery, but like it wouldn't be a bad idea to slow the ball down a little bit in against this offense, you know, on our offensive side, control the ball a little bit and then run Maiden more. But I think you use both of them.
I'm thinking about your plan because I didn't know which way you'd go.
Yeah. I don't mean to. I'm not flip-flopping either. I would start A.J. Hill, but I would say Maiden is almost playing, 40-50% of the snaps, and then you're working them in, and you've worked on it in practice this week.
Would you agree that ball control is the best way to go against the South Florida team to keep Byron Brown off the field?
Yes. Okay. You can't have it like North Texas where they outscore you with 60 points on the board. Like, you got to keep them in the...
Yeah, I don't think... I'm with you. I don't... I like your two-quarterback idea.
Okay.
I just know that A.J. Hill throwing it three times and three and outs... I think works against what's worked for you all year long.
Yeah. Goal line, you're clearly changing it.
But,
yeah.
Because of the big play ability, we saw it.
Yeah,
the big hitters. We saw him get them back in a position to either tie or win the game. A tie to go to overtime or whatever else.
Yeah.
And I know he had the one pick. He threw it up there. It was way off.
Yep.
But he is that gunslinger because of the explosiveness. That's why I like your idea. I like at times. Throwing him out there and seeing if he can give me something, a spark or whatever else. And maybe it's even to start the game, Brad. Because because I just finished up with him against UAB.
Yeah.
You know, Alex Golish saw some of that.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe it makes Alex Golish think, hey, we're going to go throw. We're going to try to change it up. And I see if I can get that early spark. But I go back to the key. If Arrington Maiden, and we saw him run through Arkansas's line.
Oh, my gosh.
Is that dude. And you can control the ground game. Now, here's the one issue with this plan.
Yeah.
Greg DeRozier is telling people he's banged up.
He
said it cost him a touchdown, he felt like, in this game. I know Sutton Smith only got the five carries. Mm. Hopefully he's healthy enough. But your run game's coming off one of its worst performances, and one of those guys is banged up.
Mm-hmm.
Going back to our scheme here now, though.
Yeah.
If those guys are good enough, and Arrington Maiden's that kind of runner, well, that's the ball control offense that I think you need against South Florida to keep Byron Brown, to keep him from scoring 63 like they did against North Texas or whatever it was, going berserk in that second half. And so weirdly, I got a foot in both sides, too. I'd like to be able to pick one and tell you that's the best way. But I think, again, assuming you don't, if you don't have Brennan Lewis, this is just a scenario we're drawing up here. I think it's more interesting conversation. I think I do want to have two guys.
Two guys. Yep.
Yeah, that's not a couch as
and
much as
it's only because
maybe
your main guy is hurt. The guy who throws and is a dual threat.
Because here's what we don't know. Arrington Maiden throwing the ball.
Right.
That could get ugly. We don't know yet. We haven't seen that yet. We don't know what kind of connection he's got. They know from practice this week. But remember, before UAB, this was what was so weird, Brad. He said A.J. Hill had a good week of practice, and that's why he was the first one to be.
I didn't like that comment.
To go in behind.
I appreciate his comment for A.J.'s sake. I didn't like that comment because it's like, you know, all these coaches at this level, a lot of times I realize that you put a lot of emphasis on practice, but you can't let whoever you decide is the backup and you can win the game with.
I'm just saying, it worked against Arkansas. They put him in for a running play. That's cool. But maybe Maiden in practice passing the ball hasn't
didn't
been
look good
enough, and that's allowed AJ to pass him. That was the other curious thing about that game was that AJ all of a sudden was the number two quarterback. And if that's the case, if Maiden didn't look good in practice passing the ball, then that's where I go back.
Maybe that was the right decision.
Yeah. That was the right decision because you're behind. But more importantly, boy, if we're just stuck running the ball and South Florida's stacking the box,
right?
Well, you're going to need another option.
Yes.
So I didn't come into this conversation expecting to come out of an answer of you probably need to play both guys because it gives you, again, a level of optionality in terms of what Golish is going to see.
Yeah.
I didn't come into this intending to pick two, but I think you might be onto the right answer. I think I agree with you that this is the right answer.
My frustration with the UAB game was UAB should not be able to stop the run on you. In other words, you shouldn't have to throw your way out of that thing to win the ball game. You know what I mean? That's why I was like, you know, thinking about Maiden a little bit after that game.
DeRozier, and again, this is from Jonah Dillon over at the Commercial Appeal, just reading this quote about his health. He was, you know, in that UAB game, we saw him break a couple loose, thought he had the touchdown at first. He was effective to an extent, but his quote was, I would have scored on that touchdown if my foot was healthy, and that's what frustrates me. That right there is very frustrating. I could have changed the game, but I didn't. Here's the part I think is noteworthy. It sucks to be like that, but sometimes I'm like, man, they should have put someone else in because that maybe they would have scored. If he's that banged up to be even thinking that, I just worry, can you have this ground attack that's been as good as it's been all season, was down, you know, backfires against UAB, it doesn't work. Can it come back if DeRozier's not at full strength? Hopefully Sutton Smith is fresh.
Yeah.
You know, hopefully Sutton Smith is ready to go. It'd be nice to have a double dose and everything you can throw at it, you know, at that run game, because I do think, Brad, you know, you're number three in the AAC in rushing at 221 yards per game, even after that, I think it was just 111 against UAB. But that's how good the Tigers' rush numbers have been. The service academies are the only two ahead of you. South Florida, oh, by the way, is fourth in rushing offense, right behind you at 215 a game. We've mentioned offensively the different ways this could go, maybe in terms of the quarterback look. Defensively, can you get back stout? Byron Brown runs the ball, just ran for over 111 yards. They got backs. They got speed. Memphis is still, even after last week, when UAB's running like roughshod, they're still number one in the AAC against the run, 106.7. Remember, before the UAB game, number seven in the country in stop rate, right up there with the Indianas and best in the country, all of a sudden was gone against UAB. Again, I think a lot of that game plan, some of it injury, but a lot of it game plan, South Florida second. That's what I wanted to get back to on this stat. They're second against the run in the AAC at 112.9. So they can stack the box. Mm-hmm. They can stop the run just as well as you can. And keep in mind, they've done it against a better schedule, a tougher schedule, because of who they've faced. I know you had Arkansas in there, but the rest of the teams that you face compared to South Florida, they don't stand up. Again, an opportunity. I would bottom line it this way, because Ryan Silverfield said when he got the job, that this was the key. It's part of his campaign to get the job being promoted from within. Some said that Memphis should go outside, right? Outside the program, like it had done with Justin Fuente, like it did with Mike Norvell. Back to Ryan Silverfield, his campaign to keep it in-house this time was, I'm going to keep it at the level that it is, right? That year in 2019, you'd had game day, you'd had the Cotton Bowl. Here's the other thing. You were 3-1 against ranked opponents. You made a conference title game, which we always talk about as the standard. You were 3-1. I went back and looked it up this morning. Again, a start, 1-4. He got his first AP-ranked win last year, unfortunately, at a time that it didn't matter, against Tulane. Yeah. There's an opportunity tomorrow to get one back, get some belief back, you know, among your fan base, maybe among your own players, even though they're still, hey, we could, you know, everything's, I know the theme this week was everything's still out in front of us.
Yeah.
And that is true. Hopefully there's buyback in because of the performance, but more importantly, just get back to being the football team that at 6-0 and with, you know, Ryan Silverfield's best ranked defense of his time and a rush offense averaging over 200, get back to something that looks more like that as opposed to the one that got caught in the trap game by Alex Mortensen down at UAB. All right, here's a big one because I know Ole Miss fans are feeling like, man, we should have beat Georgia. We had control of that game. Now you got to go to Oklahoma. And, you know, Lane Kiffin, he's been talked about for the Florida job. We've talked about the job that he's done. He's got a team, clearly, that can put up points. The question is going to be whether that Ole Miss defense can stop Oklahoma. Because here's what I'd say. Oklahoma's defense is much better than Georgia's. Okay, you're talking about, according to SP Plus, they're the third best defense in the country. And I would tell you the eye test, they might be the best. Ohio State's got a case, certainly, as best defense. And so, you know, putting up the points he did against Georgia, I know it's Georgia, it's Kirby Smart, it is impressive. I mean, you went toe-to-toe with Georgia. Should have won the game in some ways. Again, Georgia went berserk on you second half. I just feel like defensively what Trinidad is up against, this is a little bit of a different monster. Venables, this defense, it's been legit. Question's going to be, is Mateer fully healthy? And are they capable of doing what you can do to an Ole Miss defense, putting up some numbers? I tend to want to lean Oklahoma's way here because, and Jeffrey Wright had the stat, I don't have it in front of me, but SEC teams at home are covering, and this team, I believe, has won six in a row at home. And while I'm high on what Lane Kiffin has done, I just feel like defensively Oklahoma is too good. Now, again, a lot comes down to Mateer. This offense from Oklahoma, it doesn't compare to Ole Miss's. 39th in the country, Ole Miss's is 10th over at SP+. It's the best thing about Ole Miss, that offense. But I just think this defense is one that is elite. And maybe this is the week that Trinidad and those guys get slowed down, made to look like, okay, well, now I can sort of see some Division II in this guy. Last week they came up, you know, last week they had a shot, had control of the game, should have won. I just think defensively they're up against a different beast here in Oklahoma. What say you on this one?
I'm riding with Oklahoma. I watched the game 2 weeks ago against Washington State, and honestly, Ole Miss probably should have lost the game. Like, they played poorly at home. And, you know, last week, I'm like you. I thought they had that game in hand if they could control the football. I just don't think defensively they're that good. So I'm going with the Sooners at home.
Yeah. Ole Miss defense, 29th in the country. It's a far cry from this number three. Like, 29th in the SEC, you're a little lower among the SEC teams. Whereas, as we said, Oklahoma number three in the country. The Sooners front seven has generated a 38.9% pressure rate and a 12.4 sack rate per drop pack. That's both top 10 nationally. So they're going to be getting after Trinidad. Again, it's at home. It's a tough one to ask Ole Miss, even though I think they're capable. It's a tough one to ask, and I just think defensively they're not going to give – Oklahoma's not going to give up the points in this one that
I'm with
that
you
Georgia
on that.
Did.
We're on the same
that
page.
Georgia did.
Yep.
Yeah. We got more to discuss. We'll touch on last night's NFL game here after a break and some of the other ones. Vanderbilt's obviously got a big one. That's where game day
that
is headed.
That one disgusts me. That's the one I wanted here, that game day game.
I heard Jeffrey say that he feels like this is a Mizzou game. And
really?
You know, whatever, you know, when Jeffrey's picking his SEC games, it always interests me what side he's on. I'm a Diego Pavia man. I gave him respect for on Monday. I'm a believer.
It's a huge game for Mizzou.
And this dude just getting it done.
Yeah.
I was to hear Jeffrey say you thought this was
surprising.
Sort of Mizzou's spot right here.
Yeah.
A little bit surprising because I think I'm too on board the Vanderbilt train. We'll discuss all that when we get back. You're listening to J&J, 92.9 FM ESPN. Live Love Memphis Group. Get over and see him or call him up. 901-625-5200. Jennifer Carstensen and her team are wonderful. Let them show you how good they are. Don't just take my word for it, even though my word is all I got. And I'm telling you, in 2018, she got me out of a situation I never thought I'd be able to get out of. Had a home that was essentially sinking. The price that she said she could get for it, I didn't believe. And she nailed it. We didn't have to lower the price. That's the key for Jennifer. She's always told me is pricing it right from the get-go. So your sellers are not left out hanging. Having to decrease the price, knowing what you're going to get from the start is the way to go. But you've got to know what you're doing. And Jennifer Carstensen does, and she's proven it because she's been successful now through every market, and her business has grown while others have folded. So give her a chance, 901-625-5200, to show you how good she and her team are. Of course, we've talked about it and laughed about it. They don't just speak English over there. Spanish, Mandarin, whatever you're speaking, they're not going to let a language barrier stop them from getting the most money for your home or helping you find your dream home as well. It's the Live Love Memphis, Live Love Nash, and Live Love DeSoto teams at the Real Estate Agency. Be fun if we could talk first about all the great individual and team NBA performances we've seen over the first couple of nights. Ja Morant was obviously included in that. In the win over the Pelicans, passing Michael Jordan as the all-time opening night scoring leader. I love saying that. just because it feels so Sounds official. Good. I mean, to have Ja on top of that category, I don't care if it's just five games. Mike played more openers. But you now are official qualifier, and to move past the King, I will absolutely take it. We've seen SGA last night go for a career high. Aaron Gordon, 50. I think it went, ended up 10 of 11 from three, something like that. Made his first nine. It was unbelievable. And they lose to a Golden State team that's operating on all cylinders. Be great if we could start there, and yet the biggest story in the NBA right now is something you've heard since yesterday. When I think it shocked us all, we heard this was coming down, and Pablo Torre was really the first to alert me. There's presser at 9, hey, be watching.
Yeah.
And it's the names, too, that have come down, not just Terry Rozier, who was already sort of involved and then cleared, well, in some allegations, prop bet allegations, everything else, but cleared by the NBA. Sure, you know, his name maybe didn't surprise you, but to have Chauncey Billups in there did. And we talked a little bit about this with Anthony saying, you know, I think yesterday when we left this show, having not at that point read through everything that had been charged, the FBI's case and everything, I think we thought that Chauncey Billups' role in this was different than a Rozier in the sense that, okay, well, he's setting up poker games.
Yep.
Mafia apparently sponsored poker games. And yeah, they're cheating. They're fraudulent games. There's card counter thing that's you know, already been
the shuffler jimmied or whatever.
And the shuffler, and there's been yeah. jimmied, and it's what Wild. An elaborate operation.
Wild.
But sticking it to that, okay, yeah. whatever, Chauncey's got in too deep with the mafia, he's doing poker yeah. games, he's the face they're using to attract folks. Okay, that's one thing. But to have read through now and see that he's expected to be named as the co-conspirator, the head coach, and they said this guy lives in Oregon. They pretty much nailed the timeline on Chauncey. That's why most folks are saying, well, just going ahead and saying it, co-conspirator number yeah. eight is Chauncey Billups. If that's the, I believe that's the number, number eight. To have fed this information, you know, about the fact that you were going to tank a sitting head coach.
Yeah.
There's one side of this, and as I said, we discussed it with Sane, where you're just you're disappointed in Chauncey Billups, you know, getting involved in this heavy criminal activity, however you want to phrase it. Chauncey Billups' name being up there, you know, there's you know, you hate to see his face being splashed across the news. Hate to hear that he's even involved in this, and individually it is. But then there's the side of, okay, the NBA with Terry Rozier even. Who you can chalk up to dumb, you can chalk up to, I don't know, was he in debt? You chalk it up to, decided to take the risk. The other guys, Jontay Porter, for the most part, you could say, okay, these were some rogue things. We had a few guys, right, that decided to, and initially with Jontay Porter and those types, you could say they're back of the rotation guys that because, as Sane said, they're only making a couple hundred thousands of dollars, a few hundred compared to the millions that would be more willing to take the risk. Okay, Rozier's a guy who's got a little bit more money, but maybe you can still, if you're the NBA, chalk that up to, we got a few rogue guys doing this stuff. We don't have a widespread problem. But when you've got a head coach feeding information about his Portland team, you know, about to tank, and that night it sat its top four per game scores,
yeah.
lost by 28 points. He's alleged to have disclosed that information before it was publicly available, long before the injury report was made available. I got it right. This is co-conspirator number eight that fits Chauncey's description, because here's the description just word for word. As a former NBA player, co-conspirator number eight is a former NBA player who played from 97 to 2014, was an NBA coach since 2021, and an Oregon resident.
Wow.
So co-conspirator number eight looks like it's Chauncey Billups. But back to the NBA.
Yeah.
You got a sitting head coach in a league where, okay, Brad, here's the deal. You've made all these partnerships, and you have to in this day and age, I guess, but you've decided to partner up with the gambling industry, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
And so the thing you have to now protect even more than you did beforehand, before this was all out in the open, is your integrity, right? The fact
yes.
that, hey, if we're going to be hooked up with all this, boy, we better be running a
yeah.
league that's all
tight.
The up and up.
Got to be tight.
And when you've got Jontay Porter,
yep.
and I throw Terry Rozier,
yep.
you can still chalk it up, okay, maybe one's dumb, he's making too much money for that. The other one we kind of understand because he's not. But those are rogue individual deals.
Mm-hmm.
Right, if you're the NBA, you can say this is your that we don't have that don't necessarily indicate a widespread problem.
Yeah, it's a one off.
But when you have a sitting head coach, one of 30, feeding information about tanking, I don't care how tied in he is, that reflects how tied into the mafia or what his excuse for it is.
Mm-hmm.
That comes back on you and your integrity in terms of all of this. Oh man, it's not just you can no longer say, well, it's just a couple of rogue guys.
Yeah.
No, we can't say any other coaches are doing this, but just the fact that you can, the fact that this is happening, and now in this instance with a head coach. I mean, that to me, this is when my view of reading the story yesterday, I mean, you think, okay, they've opened Pandora's box, kind of invited all this. There's going to be some rogues that decide to do this, and maybe the NBA does have a problem or maybe not. But when you see a sitting head coach feeding information that he's not supposed to for the purposes, it appears, of criminal activity, now the NBA can't just say with any sort of certainty this isn't something that's out of control, because it is.
Yeah.
At this point, it is out of control. You've cleared the one guy, and I realize they don't have subpoena power. You know, you can only get Terry Rozier's phone, whereas the FBI can do a whole lot more. But they had cleared Rozier and had him back on Miami's roster. And now you have Chauncey Billups, who was just coaching Portland, involved in, again, yeah, pretty much nailed in giving away information,
yes,
that he's not supposed to have. You have a major problem on your hands that has us talking about it, mm-hmm, instead of all these fantastic games and performances that you've had here to start the season. Silver's got his hands full right here.
Yeah, for the last couple of years, we were talking about Ja Morant in Memphis and the gun stuff. And I was talking to the morning show over on the river this morning, and I thought their perspective was interesting, because they said they were hammering Ja so badly on something that, frankly, was legal, which is the internet and pictures. I'm not saying it was right, but follow me here. Mm-hmm. This is a way bigger problem. Like, way bigger, way bigger. And this is their problem. This is their problem. Not gun culture. This is their problem.
Well, now you're going to have people that will accuse you of, okay, well, you have no control. Chauncey Billups did this. How do we know that other NBA coaches haven't done this?
Yeah.
That are in deep, whether it's whatever the reason, debt, whatever, willing to take the risk because it's easy, whatever it is. You can't stop that question now when it's coming at you if you're the NBA and you're Silver with any sort of certainty.
There's no stoppage.
Like Chauncey doing this as a sitting head coach, yeah, and if he's co-conspirator number 8,
yeah,
it just takes it to a completely more urgent level for me, because it's one thing to be able, as I said,
yeah,
to just throw this off on a couple of guys. Oh, we don't have a problem. Those guys were just dumb. I mean, yeah, Silver can say that on the record or off, but when you have a coach willing to do it, bro, you have a problem on your hands. And so whether it's cutting off prop bets,
yep,
for the non-rotation guys, like Hussein was kind of saying, maybe looking at a future with no prop bets, or now with these injury reports,
mm-hmm,
and tightening up, because
mm-hmm,
Chauncey was able to do this, it appears. You have to be able to monitor this in some kind of way that protects your integrity.
Yes.
That has the DraftKings and the FanDuels and everybody that's, you,
yes,
know, involved with all that, whether it's the gamblers themselves or the organizations themselves. You have, they have to believe that you're on top of this. And right now it doesn't look like you've got any control. So that's why I'd say this is huge for him in terms of, you had Kawhi Leonard coming into this season. This dwarfs that.
Oh,
this
way bigger.
This dwarfs that. We were talking about,
also bad,
if you let the Clippers off,
yeah,
then everybody's going to do this. And, yeah, and he does. He has to set a precedent.
Yep.
This is so much bigger because they're so much more tied in money-wise,
yep,
with all these gambling outfits, and now they have to protect the we say it about the NFL, they have to protect this the shield of integrity that you every commissioner would like to have you believe that they have, and they operate,
yeah,
from behind. But how can you claim to have it right now when you got guys involved as high a level as head coaches?
Well, I'm glad we're talking about this. The two things on this. One, innocent until proven totally guilty, like totally guilty, although it's pretty rough right now. So Silver, when this is all done and this is in the books, clearly is going to have to get really out there on this.
We're going to have to see a pretty big plan, like,
yeah,
a page
like
by
comprehensive.
I would think.
Like very detailed.
That's the way,
like, you should be making your plan right now.
Because it's not just for your fans and, yeah, everything else to sort of, it's for these your partnerships with your your betting corporations.
Here's what we're doing with our partners who are in the gaming
industry. Here's why this won't, yeah, happen, and here's, yeah, how we're on top. Here's how we're more on top of it than we have been.
And you take it a step further and you go, gambling is an addictive problem in our society. Like, you have to go all the way down there, I think, if you're Silver, because it starts with what's the why, right, Jason? And I'm not perfect, by the way. I got plenty of sins in my closet here. But I'm just saying, if this is the one, you got to get out there and say, you know, gambling is a problem. Gambling is an addictive problem. Criminal activity is obviously, you know, you can't break the law. And here's what we're going to do about it. Because the first thing I saw yesterday, after this happened, is these Rozier reels. You probably saw it. It's a 2-minute reel of Rozier dogging it in some of these games. Mm. And so the first thing that's going to start happening is, well, what if a guy has a bad game and they look like they're maybe throwing the game, or they're not They're throwing bounce passes that keep getting intercepted. You know, like
As we would say, when the cops are all around the neighborhood, like the block is hot now. If you're going to do this now with all the eyes that have to be on you, like the NBA again has to up its urgency level in terms of monitoring this stuff. Folks are going to be watching now.
Yep.
And if you're still willing to take that risk, wow. But again, whether it's not having that temptation there,
you get rid of it.
You cannot allow Pandora's box here to stay open with whether it's the prop bets part of this.
Right.
Just make it where you can bet on LeBron and Luka and those guys you know are going to be in the lineup. I had not considered that option. I had considered an all or nothing, sort of like we've said about the college football side of this. Because they don't have those millions, not all of them, some do with NIL, but because most of them don't, we said, well, they're going to be more willing to take these chances.
Yeah.
So cut the prop bets off in college. Just do outcomes, whatever else lines.
Yeah.
But it had been all or nothing. Maybe that sort of middle ground and cutting off the rotation, the non-rotation guys, is the way to go. Albeit, you're still you leave yourself open to some Terry Rozier's.
Yeah,
you know that because he is not that end of the bench guy. But I do think now you're going to. It can't just be prop bets that you're addressing. If you're Adam Silver, it's going to have to be these injury reports. Mm-hmm. Who gets them? The information. Where does it go after those coaches have got it or whatever else? You're going to have to be on top of that, man, because otherwise. You know, this thing, the cat's out of the bag. You've lost a lot of trust. And right now, you've lost a great deal of it's the wrong kind of attention, I would put it. Because last night, to get back to the point, what would usually be the A, if we're talking about NBA, we talk about Ja's performance from the other night, what he's going to do against Miami tonight. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander goes for a career-high 55. Brad mentioned it, Pacers, they were getting their banner for making the finals. So they were pumped up, is my point, in Indy. Mm-hmm. And boy, they gave OKC a heck of a game, 141-135 in double overtime. And we said it. SGA said it was sane. Looking more like Jordan just to me in terms of process, the way he'll take it upon himself. Keep in mind, this is a team that's without Jalen Williams right now. That's his running mate. And they've taken the best shot, it looked like, from Houston, the first night in double overtime. And here's a pumped-up Pacers team that, like we said, is getting its banner. And shout-out Trista Crick. I don't know if you were listening when she said it yesterday.
Yeah.
But she likes this Pacers team, I think the first name she said was Benedict Mathurin.
Yep.
A dude I loved, coming out, I think, Arizona?
Mm-hmm.
Last night, 36-11 for him.
Oh.
Pascal Siakam was good, too, 32-15.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
We know there's a lot that can go on during one night of baseball. Long home runs, epic pitching performances, catches that defy space, time, and gravity.
Climbing the wall! Did he catch it? He did!
But what if you could get all of that summarized in a quick, concise, and at least we think, funny podcast that's under 10 minutes? Check out MLB.com's Morning Lineup. It runs Monday through Friday mornings on Spotify, Apple, or wherever you love listening most.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters, your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.